Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. What I love about Shopify is basically how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. I know we use Shopify here at Betches, and honestly, anyone with any kind of business could really benefit from Shopify. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/betches, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/betches now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/betches.
Welcome back to Not Another True Crime Podcast. I'm Sarah Levine.
And I'm Danny Murphy, and we are your partners in wine, crime, and time, but we have a partner to our partnership this week,
so
Sarah.
So true. Yes, do you want to do the honors?
Yes, I am so excited that we have Daisy Maskell here joining us from across the pond. I love saying that. But it's always
Hello.
So fun.
I feel like I need to shout. I also want to be the wine in this partnership. I love that.
Yes. Well, I feel you definitely need a drink to end your day because looking at you have like 95 jobs, it sounds like.
I am like the temp. I'm doing it all. I'm a dog walker and then I'm not. But I like am living double lives. It's like Hannah Montana, my day to day. But it's fun. It's good to change things up.
I feel like you could rock a blonde wig for sure.
Yeah, I'll go grab out my spy wig from my closet. But no, it's great, and I think that keeps life fun, and that's what I'm all about. I'm all about sticking myself into different environments.
I love that too, because I love also that one of your titles is breakfast host, right?
It is. So I get up really, really early in the morning to do a breakfast show on radio. It's got a little bit better since COVID. I'm not going to lie. It used to be me getting up at 3 a.m. to travel into the studio. Now it's a little bit better. I would be lying if I said that I don't sometimes record from home. That is the beauty of how radio has changed since COVID. Sometimes it is literally me under a duvet to soundproof broadcasting to people in the UK. And that's a little behind the scenes secret. But breakfast show host is one of my many hats.
I love that. Well, also because it seems that you do a lot of different stuff in like different mediums, because you do radio, you do podcasting, you also do some TV series. And one that I feel me and Sarah, we're going to have to like hack our way to watching this across seas because can you tell? Because I feel also this really ties in to our audiences about crime, scam, and just kind of like foolery going around online, because you did a series about truth testers.
I did. So I did a series. It was basically following honey trappers. And for anyone that doesn't know what a honey trapper is, it is essentially someone that is hired by an individual that's in a relationship to test out their partner to see if they would be willing to cheat. So we filmed a documentary that came out last year in the UK, and we followed a honey trapper. We followed a real life case, and we spoke to both sides. So we spoke to the partner that was hiring and also the partner that was being tested. And the thing is, this has been around for years. There's agencies that have been set up for like decades doing this in person. But we found that people are starting to do this online through social media now. So you probably would have seen, at least on your For You page on TikTok, there are girls that are doing this from their bedroom. People are sending in requests in the comments for them to test out their partner. And then they post the results of it on their TikTok for millions of people to see.
Oh, and
it was crazy. It was a crazy experience.
Wow.
Like, so what happened when the honey was trapped and all the bears and the bees were in the same room? Because that's where I'm picturing, I don't know if this is the American in me. That's what I'm picturing. Some tables being thrown, punches being thrown, lawyers getting involved. How did that go for you?
It is wild. Do you know what? What I will say is the people that we followed during our documentary, I think they were quite wary, and they were, it's so difficult because with social media, I guess it's sort of like, it's so on the cusp of entrapment. And there are a lot of guys, and I was saying this to my boyfriend, I was like, if a girl reached out to you, like, would you respond? And I think there are a lot of guys through social media that maybe would, just because they didn't want to be mean or come across as abrasive. But it's like everyone has a different line or level or situation they regard as cheating. So some of the girls we were working with, they were like, if my boyfriend responds even back like, hey, then that's it. Like, our relationship's over. Whoa. Whereas some people are like, if they continued that conversation and then maybe like solicited to meet up, then that's when we have issues. So
yeah.
I think it means different things to everyone. But it was really, really interesting just to get an insight into other people's relationships and the shit that some people take and the shit that some people do not stand for.
It's a lot.
I'm almost like, did they unpack, like, how much, like, is this a payment? Like, do the honey trappers like charge a fee, or is it just for the love of the game?
Imagine.
It's summer. It's side hustle summer.
This is the thing. Well, these agencies, so people that are doing it in person, they do charge a fee, and it's really, really expensive. Ooh. But the people that are doing it online, there are some that charge, but they're, it's kind of a murky waters, because as much as most of them that do it online will say, oh, we don't charge for it, you know, we're just doing this for the greater good, you know, supporting women, catching men out cheating. They are posting this online, so they're getting millions and millions of views. And so they're kind of being paid through the creator fund anyway. So it's murky waters, but it can be very, very big business. That's what I will say, as a side hustle for summer.
Okay.
I don't know if I have it. I'm not a good liar, so that will not be my side hustle, I think. We wanted to ask, what is your true crime obsession or news obsession right now?
I think for me, I love a true crime case or story that is cracked or solved in an unexpected way. Mm. I think that really leans into that armchair detective. I love to go behind the scenes and see like the crazy ways that detectives and investigators can crack a case and the lengths that they go to. There was one, this happened, I want to say the early noughties, but it was one that I only just recently came across. And it was, I think it was in Italy, a woman's body was found on a beach in Italy, and they were really struggling for leads. And the locals were saying that they had seen this guy in a car speaking to this woman. This was her final sighting. And so when they went to question him, he was like, I don't know this woman. I've never met her in my life. She's a complete stranger to me. They ended up searching his apartment, and they found a mosquito that contained her blood, which proved that she had been in his apartment, and the mosquito, just before she was killed in the apartment, had sucked her blood, and that tied her to the crime scene.
What?
So the case literally unfolded from there. So those types of stories, for me, where they're cracked in like the craziest ways, are always the things that give me my fix.
I don't feel like that would happen in America. Like, I don't think the police would work that hard. I don't know.
That's true. That's very accurate.
That's crazy.
Like, props to them, and good eyesight as well.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how you'd spot that.
And good not being afraid of bugs. I know. So you did the truth testers doc. There is another one that is not, I don't think it's announced yet, but you said it's kind of unpacking similar kind of grittiness. Can you give us a little bit what's going on there?
So this one is really gritty. I am kind of one of these people that I love to throw myself straight into the situation. It's always about how close to the fire I can get. And I'm very willing to be sort of the guinea pig, especially with the documentaries that we make here in the UK. So this one is, it's all about throwing me literally into these crazy situations, whether it's into an illegal operation and me kind of going in and cracking it from the inside out, or just exploring the weird and wonderful in the world and just getting as close to the source as possible. So that's what I'm working on at the moment.
So you're like an undercover investigator? What?
It's wild. It is wild. And it changes your whole perspective on life. I feel like it's changed the dopamine levels in my brain.
Oh, yeah.
Because now my expectation for craziness is so much higher, because there is just so much crazy out there. It's wild what people can get themselves into.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I cannot wait to watch that. That sounds really very intense. And I do also laugh, sorry. I don't know if you feel like this too. Like there's, whenever someone comes to visit New York, there's like scams I tell them not to do.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean? Where it's
get on the subway. That was my scam today.
There's things that you're just like, oh, don't do that. You're going to fall for it. It boosts maybe our local economy, but fall for it. Is there a scam that you would like a big London scam that you're like, why do I always fall for that? Or that you would warn someone visiting to be like, do not go to this restaurant. It's overhyped. Do not go to this coffee shop. It's actually not good. Even a scam like that or anything. Does anything come to mind for you?
I would say that. So we have Leicester Square, which is like the tourist hub. And I would just say, just don't go to M&M World. Every tourist just flocks to M&M World. And it's just the worst. And I think when you're a teenager kind of growing up in London, you always end up back there. I don't know what it is. It has some sort of magnet for tourists and teenagers in London. Don't go there. I would just say avoid Leicester Square and those tourist areas in general. And there's a lot of scams going on around there as well. Oh. So they have these little bikes that will like ferry you around. You kind of sit on the back of the bike and they'll take you around London. And to do like a 2-3 minute trip, they will genuinely charge you like £60.
What?
And there's just no regulation on it whatsoever. And I have jumped out a few times. I think I took one on New Year's Eve once because I had way too much to drink. And I was like, this is fun. Sometimes it's fun to do touristy things in your city. And the guy literally tried to charge us £60 and you have to make a run for it. I'm sorry, but I am not parting with my cash in that way. Not enough pedal work went into that for me to dip my hand in my pocket.
You're like, this is not a SoulCycle class, sir.
No.
I also would love if we go to London and Daisy's like, don't go to M&M World. She's there. She just wants no lines. You're like, guys, don't go.
It's
just go.
And Sarah, I feel before we get in, we have some topics in the news that we want to get into with you. But before we do that, Sarah, you have to make your reveal about how you take your coffee.
Yes. Okay. So we have this thing on this podcast. We call them super secret serial killer traits, which is basically something weird that you do that if anybody found out, they would think you were a serial killer. So I have a couple of them. But one of my recent ones was I revealed that I like to order iced coffee from Dunkin'. I don't know if you guys have Dunkin' Donuts over there. Who knows? Probably not.
We don't.
Okay. Well, anyways, it's like Starbucks, but honestly better and more sugary. So I will order iced coffee, but with no ice. And my reasoning is because the ice always makes the coffee super watery. And I also hate the condensation. But Danny thinks that I need to be on a watch list.
Yes.
So our question for you is, do you have any serial killer traits?
I would say I have a lot of weird eating habits.
Okay.
Which are kind of like serial killer vibes. One is I like to do like put cheese on toast and melt it under the grill, but then I like to slice a banana on top of it.
Whoa.
As well. Put that on top and then like put it back under, which I guess like it could be serial killer, but I can definitely explain my way out of it because I love that taste of like sweet and salty. But when I make that in front of people, people are like, no way, there is something going on up there.
It's a lot of yellow on the bread.
I've had like apples and grilled cheese, but never a banana.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See? Interesting.
Okay.
See? We might be onto something here.
I'm going to say, I'm going to want to try it.
Yes.
Yeah. Try it.
One time we tried, one of our listeners wrote in, their thing was they would get a donut and put a slice of American cheese and microwave it for like 10 seconds. So we all tried it and we're like, this is pretty good, actually.
This is the thing. You can't knock things until you try them, especially in the food world as well.
Wait, so I would love if that's one of the underground like places you're going. You're like, illegal stuff, bananas on cheese. Can I say, I'd be the first person tuning in.
Yes, we will make it happen.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, Good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And since obviously, like you say, you're up every morning talking about news, entertainment, pop culture, interviewing amazing celebrities, we have a lot of celebrities here in the States, and I feel they become international stories.
Oh, yeah.
In their own right, are kind of having some closure in the true crime space this week. So are you, like, with Armie Hammer? I feel that really was an international story across the board with his allegations and everything.
Of cannibalism, you know.
we do you know what? It's so funny. I always find this so interesting because I speak to, you know, so many production companies in the US, and there's certain stories that hit over here that, you know, no one knows about in the US, and there's certain stories that hit in the US that no one knows about over here. So we know a sprinkling of this, and obviously I do to a certain extent. But yeah, I mean, where do we go with this? It's kind of like with this kind of topic in true crime, this is one of the reasons I'm a huge true crime fan, but this is one of the reasons why I never watched the Jeffrey Dahmer series on Netflix, because I like to sit down and I like to eat while I'm watching something. And so whenever that is kind of any sort of cannibalism is involved in a story, I'm like, this is what I think, that's where the line is for me. That's where I kind of tap out.
So no Yellow Jackets for you?
Oh, yeah.
No Yellow Jackets for
me. That show is so intense. So good. And I know it's like also even an added layer with this one, because Armie Hammer was like the rising star that everyone was like, he was about to become like a Brad Pitt.
He was, but at the same time, like at least over here, I feel like Armie Hammer was like sort of his own PR stunt, because I just felt like everybody was sort of pitching him to try to make him this thing. Mm. And the rest of the world was kind of like, he's fine. Like, we weren't super into it, you know?
That's real. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing that's going to be very interesting to see, because he's not going to be facing charges following the LA's investigation into the sexual assault allegations. Mm-hmm. And they released a statement that sexual assault cases are often difficult to prove, which is why we assign our most experienced prosecutors to review them. In this case, those prosecutors conducted an extremely thorough review, but determined that at this time, there is insufficient evidence to charge Mr. Hammer with a crime.
That doesn't mean that he didn't do it. It just means bullshit. That they probably don't think it's a winnable case.
And that's why, I mean, I feel that was a statement. I'm glad they weren't saying, we didn't find anything. They were like, these are hard to prove.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I feel everybody knew from the second this broke, the uphill battle. Mm-hmm. This is going to be just because like for any sexual assault case, but then on top, you're going against, he's a rich man on his own right. A rich man from a rich family.
A rich white man.
A rich white man who's a Hollywood name.
Yeah.
It was such a almost losing game, unfortunately. And I'm very, very curious now to see if he's going to try to make a next move.
He will. I mean, like, come on. Yeah.
This is what irks me so much, you know, about these sort of cases. And I have a podcast where we kind of speak to people that have had extraordinary, you know, life experiences or, you know, been through some crazy stuff. And we've had people on recently that are involved in open investigations and that involve, you know, sexual abuse and sexual assault. And it's so frustrating to me to hear that these investigations are still open and, you know, that there's just nothing anyone can do because supposedly there isn't enough evidence to charge. Mm. That will get me to wormhole into a subject in the early hours of the morning to try and fight for justice, because it's so disheartening.
And especially after just like the whole Johnny Depp conversation at the beginning of this year, the fucking insanity and like the, like you say, like social media can do a lot of like positive moments here and there to help find things, but just like the echo chamber of these people that have no clue even what they're talking about, shouting about all of it. And then we even saw that because he took to Instagram, of course, to release a statement that said he's very grateful to the district attorney for conducting a thorough investigation and coming to the conclusion that I've stood by this entire time, that no crime was committed. I look forward to beginning what will be a long, difficult process of putting my life back together now that my name is clear.
Mm-hmm. I think what was so interesting about that case, because I was watching it on, what is it called? Is it like, I'm trying to think of the YouTube channel that like live streams.
Law and Crime?
Yes, that's it. Yes.
I love that.
I was watching it all day, every day here in the UK, watching it unfold. And I think that was so one of those cases where, you know, we're all armchair detectives with, you know, true crime and court cases, and the internet's just so obsessed. And it was that kind of felt like one of those cases where the internet had gone too far, and kind of we've involved ourselves in something and kind of derailed the natural, you know, process that a justice system will take. And I think we're seeing that more and more and more. I'm finding so many cases of people that have kind of started this, whether it's either a witch hunt or sort of done their own investigation on social media, and it's turned, you know, it's completely derailed an investigation. But then on the flip side, sometimes it completely solves an investigation and aids an investigation, and it can lead to a conviction. So it's that balance between the two, I guess. But yeah, that took up a large portion of was it the start of this year, right?
Or it was
the end of last year.
Yeah, I think it was like last summer.
Armie Hammer?
Are we talking
about Deb Hurt?
I think Deb Hurt.
That was last summer.
Yeah, and then, but his kind of comeback was late fall, early this year too with everything. Yeah. And that was even a hard one too, where people were like shouting about something. I'm like, you don't even know what they're on. You don't even know what this case is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like so many people just thought it was a criminal trial. But
side
note, speaking of people on the internet taking it way too far, were you following that girl who thought she was Madeleine McCann?
Yes. 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 Yes.
Oh,
I was.
My gosh.
Obviously, this is like the biggest story, and it always has been here in the UK. So, yeah, I was following that. And this is obviously, you know, that was a saga within itself. But I hear that they have I don't know if they've reopened the investigation or they're doing something at the moment, and people are wondering if sort of the publicity from that has caused them to reopen this investigation, because they actually started digging in Portugal recently for a couple of days at a site that they were once digging in, you know, a few days and weeks after she disappeared. I don't know whether that has sort of brought a new wave of sort of press to this investigation, but I don't know. What are your thoughts about the Madeleine McCann situation?
Well, we definitely don't think the parents had anything to do with it, even though that was like kind of a huge thing at the time. And I think most people have kind of backed off from that theory as well. But I don't, wasn't there some German sex offender who they were looking at?
Yeah, so this is, I think they apparently got a tip off and the area that they were digging in recently, it was like a reservoir in Portugal, was supposed to be a spot that he like frequently visited. And so they did take things away, but no one knows what that was yet, whether it was kind of soil samples or whether they found any evidence. But I guess we will know in the next few weeks and months.
And I know obviously Madeleine McCann really kind of an international phenomenon, but I was interested because you said at the, talking about like the Armie Hammer case and things, how you get fascinated by how some cases make its way over to the UK, and then also some cases make its way over to the US, but don't. Are there any like near you or in the UK, or maybe even just a larger hole over there that you are like, why is this not getting more attention?
You know what? I would actually say the kind of flip reverse. So that there is a story that I'm following and that we're digging into at the moment that was in the US. And I don't know if it's like widely known in the US, but it got a lot of traction over here. But whenever I speak to anyone in the US, they don't really know much about it. And it's do you know anything about the Taylor Renee Parker case?
No, actually.
This is what's so interesting is every sort of, every news outlet picked this up in the UK, but whenever I speak to anyone in the US about this, they're like, we don't know this story.
Oh.
So this was of a woman. She's the most recent woman to be put on death row. She was put on there in November of last year in Texas. And it was just the most horrific crime. She basically posed and pretended that she was pregnant. She got into a relationship and the relationship was kind of coming to the end of its honeymoon phase and she wanted to keep this guy around. Now, she was infertile. She had had a hysterectomy, so she couldn't have any more children. So she pretended that she was pregnant and, you know, strung out this lie for 9 months. And what's so creepy about this is that she detailed this pregnancy and this pregnancy journey all over social media. So you can see she had a gender reveal and she was uploading baby scans and uploading updates of, you know, the baby's, you know, grown this amount. And like it was wild. Oh. And you can go back and you can look through Pinterest boards that she made of, you know, decor for the baby's room and inspo pictures that she wants to take when the baby's born. So she kept this up for 9 months. And then obviously, you know, when 9 months was up, this had to conclude in some sort of way. And so she, during the course of her pregnancy and certainly towards that final trimester, she was sitting outside OBGYN offices, sort of stalking other pregnant women. Oh, God. But she had a friend that was pregnant at the time, and she went round to her friend's house and she essentially cut her baby out of her and took the baby as if it was her own. So it was just the most shocking case. And she was put on death row, as I said, in November, but no one in the US seems to know too much about it, but it was big over here in the UK. Every news outlet was talking about it. Everyone was running the story.
That's so wild.
I can't believe, I've not heard about that.
No, I mean, when I saw the headline, I was like, I feel like I saw that maybe in a Law and Order episode, but seriously.
Yeah.
Okay, that actually reminds me of this podcast that we are going to cover soon called Scamanda / Scam and Amanda. And it's about this woman who like faked cancer for, I don't know, years and was like documenting it all on social media and her blog and everything to basically like get money out of people.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure I may have heard of this case or I may have heard of something similar, but it's just like, it's wild. And I guess with these kind of cases and with, you know, Taylor, there have been other women that have done sort of similar things in terms of like faking pregnancies and taking children. And it's like, I think she's going through a pill right now. And I guess the argument is, it is really a question of sanity too. I think the last woman that was executed on death row in 2021, she was executed for a very, very similar crime that she committed in 2004. Geez. And she was like, at the time and in the lead up to her execution, she was like the most hated woman in America. But post her execution, 2 years since her execution now, people are starting to question like, should we have done this? Should someone have stepped in? Should there have been more of a, you know, intervention? Surely a sane person of sound mind cannot do this. And why is there this sort of trend of women committing this kind of crime? It's a really, 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 really tragic and just fascinating case.
There is another fascinating appeal we can definitely talk about, which I feel like must have made its way over to England. One of the Manson girls may be able to be paroled and released. This actually happened yesterday. A California appeals court said that Leslie Van Houten might be able to, should be granted parole, basically. And this came after, in 2020, the governor of California denied her release even after the parole board recommended it. So she's in her 70s now. Oh. Yeah, which is wild. I mean, she's been in prison since she was like 19 when that was when the Manson murders were committed. And basically the appeals court opinion says that she provided extensive explanation as to the factors that led to her involvement with Manson and the commission of the murders. And they basically just are like, she should be released. And they said the governor's refusal to accept Van Houten's explanation amounts to unsupported intuition, which I think kind of means that he would not do it for political reasons.
I don't know. I mean, that's a heavy, just the name Manson, that's a heavy case to try to appeal or get anything to, even though it happened. Like, I don't know if anyone would want to touch that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I'm yet to sort of pick up on this, but that is, yeah, that is really 70 years old as well. It's like,
I mean, Manson is dead, right? And a couple of the other girls are dead too. So like Patricia and who's the other one? Linda.
I know, it's almost, it's that hard double. I could see the judge being like, I don't want to get in trouble with that. But also it's like 70 years old. But then also some 70 year olds commit stuff. So
I mean, 70 years old, like, I feel like the concept of a 70 year old has also changed dramatically. Like, I remember my grandparents being 70 and they were like, from what I remember, like, they were like, OAPs, but 70 years old is like alive and kicking now. So I wouldn't,
But I'm also like, what are the odds of her falling in with another murderous cult? You know, like, don't you think that's a once in a lifetime thing?
That's true. What are the odds of, who was that guy? John Darwin getting in another canoe. That was an English case that we were obsessed with.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. That was such a good one.
I don't know this. What is this?
Oh, my God. This guy,
My God. So he and his, he faked his death. Like, he said he went out to canoe at sea and then had the canoe just, like, turn up so he could get insurance money. And so then,
he was living in, like, Panama, right?
Living in the attic of his house, told all of his kids he was dead. It was just him and his wife in it together. Then they moved to Panama. And they got caught because they were on a photo for Panama Tourism.
Wild.
See, this is
absolutely wild. I think it was in the UK. We had a similar case a couple of years ago. I'm pretty sure it was in the UK.
Yeah.
This one was. Yes. We had a similar one to this, where it was a husband that was trying to, you know, he was done with this marriage. He was trying to cash in on a life insurance policy. And him and his wife, at the time, they went skydiving and he tampered with her parachute.
No.
And she jumped on it. And I'm pretty sure she ended up surviving and he got done for it.
Yes, good.
Oh, God, that is insane. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's what I tell Sarah and all of our listeners all the time. I get so much, whenever we're like, where should we go to get a story that we want to uncover, I'm a BritBox subscriber because you guys have some crazy documentaries and stuff going on over there.
We do. I feel like it's the Viking, like this Viking ancestry. Like, there were some barbaric, like there are truly some barbaric things that happen in the UK that are just like, whoa, like just very unique twists and turns in certain like true crime cases that just feel so caveman, so Viking. I don't know.
Next time you visit New York, the three of us might have to crash Anna Delvey's apartment.
What's she up to now?
Because did you see? Well, she's coming for all of our jobs.
Uh-oh.
Because she's launching a podcast.
Well, that feels inevitable. Like, right?
Where is she? Like, where is she at? I'm just waiting for her. Like, she. There's certainly like, I'm sure there's going to be some sort of like merch line in the future as well. Like this, maybe I'm giving her the idea up front, but like, she has such a business brain. Like, this is what it's just the strangest, wildest thing. But yeah, she is coming for all of our jobs, and I'm pretty sure she'll be pretty successful too. Yes.
She's gonna be very successful. You also just made me realize what her merch is gonna be, because she's under house arrest, so has an ankle monitor. Late summer, early fall 2023, she's gonna be releasing ankle monitor merch, like people to wear, and everyone's gonna be wearing them.
I could see that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Slogan t-shirts too. It would pop off. Phone cases.
Yes. Wait, also might have to wind up interviewing her because she's potentially releasing a single. So she might become a pop star.
Oh my God. I feel like whoever wrote Luann's bop is going to write her thing.
Anna Delvey's going to cover Padam Padam by Kylie Minogue. I could see that happening.
This is so me on the radio. Like, yeah, welcome to your Thursday morning. Now we're getting into some Anna Delvey. it sounds right though, doesn't it? She's got kind of a pop star name, but wow. I mean, what a 180.
It is really funny. And like, they were for the, even the press release announcement for it, they're like, so she's convicted on a series of crime, including attempted grand larceny.
Casual.
Is launching a weekly podcast series, The Anna Delvey Show. And my favorite is in the trailer. She's like, you know my name, but do you know the real me? And it's like, who is the real you?
I don't even think she knows.
Yeah.
But is she going to have Julia Garner on it? That's what we need to know. I want to hear them, like her doing the voice and then Anna's actual voice just like interviewing.
That's actually true. Yes. And can I say, because like you said, it's probably going to be a popular podcast. the theme of it, can I say I'm kind of interested in it? Because she's what she said, she's discussing the traditional concepts of right and wrong while unpacking what it means to be a rule breaker.
Give me
so
a break.
I feel she's very like girl bossing, but has the receipts to say she's like, no, I'm just not talking in theory. I'm talking in practice.
just in the top line, I guess this is the effect of her. It doesn't have to, you know, make sense, but how can you kind of unpick the right and the wrong, but then also just say from a rule breaker, it's like, surely
it's like you broke the law.
Yeah. But let's wait and see. I guess we'll be listening.
Oh, yes. We will be definitely tuning in for that.
I'm also like, where's her New York Times profile? Elizabeth Holmes got one. Mm-hmm. I am pretty shocked.
Yeah, she mm-hmm.
she'll
one.
Be at the Met Gala next year, guys.
Oh,
this
my
is a,
God.
This is a whole campaign.
I could see that for sure.
2,000%.
That is so real.
And I mean, we know you've been up since like, for like 900 hours already. But before we let you go, is there, because we didn't really touch on your podcast. It's Proverbs, right?
It is. It's Proverbs. It's basically speaking to really interesting people with extraordinary life experiences or stories that has kind of shaped their outlook on life. So we've spoken to everyone from women that have run away to Syria from the UK. We've spoken to a couple of weeks ago, a guy that was eaten by a hippo and survived.
What?
We've also...
Where do you find these people? What do you find these people?
Oh my God.
I don't know. In the deep, dark holes of the internet. It's just a bit of everything. We've spoken to guys that have, you know, been shared cells with serial killers. Oh, there's so much. There was a really interesting one. It was off the back of a Netflix documentary called The Last Breath. He was a deep sea diver and he got trapped at the bottom of the North Sea without any oxygen, without, you know, any warm water. They have like an umbilical cord and he was trapped down there for like 30 minutes. It's a really, really interesting Netflix doc, which actually shows the footage of him down on this platform, going in and out of consciousness. It's wild. So we spoke to him, Chris Lemons. It's all going on.
How do you relax?
It's your crime, obviously. Yeah,
I have a, do you know what? I was a person that grew up in a household where I have an older sister and she got to have the pets. And then my mom was like, no, because I always end up looking after them. So I never got pets as a kid. So when I moved into my first place a couple of years ago, I was like, I need a pet to just chill out and relax with. So I bought a hairless cat. She's a Sphinx cat. Oh. And so she's like the clingiest thing ever. Her name is Ghost. And she helps me relax because she's just so clingy and she can just kind of get cozy and watch a bit of true crime.
Oh my God. We'll let you go cuddle Ghost a little bit because that's adorable. But can you let everybody listening who's now, if they didn't already know you, are obsessed with you, can you let them know where to follow you and check you out?
Yes. So you can follow me on socials, Daisy L. Maskell, and you can check out Proverbs Podcast with Daisy Maskell. Episodes dropping weekly.
I love it. Thank you so much for coming to chat with us.
Thanks, guys, so much. Take care.
Not Another True Crime Podcast is produced by Jorge Morales Pico and Sean Kilby. Our hosts are Sarah Levine and Danny Murphy. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Sarah Levine. Be sure to follow at NATCPod on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And send us your emails to NATC@Betches.com. Betches.